Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
Inside the HananiahAutos.com studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. New time for the 2014 training camp and preseason and regular season. 7 to 8 here on 1010XL. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Tony Baselli is wandering around. He'll be here, I'm sure, at some point to join us. Jeffrey?
What's up?
How are you, man?
It's been a little bit. I'm doing good. You know, to use a term that a very good friend of mine, he's a Hall of Famer, use, I'm finer than frog hair.
That's pretty fine. Pretty darn fine. 355-6351, 355-NFL1 to get in on the show tonight. Throw a 1-800 in front of that if you're outside of the area. Lots to get to. Veterans reported today, of course. Players on the field for the first training camp practice tomorrow morning. That story coming up. Shad Khan spoke to the media following the back-to-football luncheon today. We'll hear from him on the video boards and the future of Justin Blackmon and more coming up a little bit later today. Everybody reported today. You just visited with Gus Bradley for the last hour or so, Jeff, and obviously, he can't be any more excited for tomorrow morning.
No, I mean, as a coach and as a player, I mean, you have great anticipation. I'll never forget this, you know, for playing football for so many years, whether it had been college or the pros, the anticipation level in the weeks leading up to it, just like Gus was talking about, you have dreams where you wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden something's going on. And Tony, I don't know about you, but, I mean, long after I stopped playing, I still – at this time of year, have dreams about football camp. And I have no idea why. And I honestly wish that I could go somewhere and get like an electrode zap to get rid of it. But it's just a timing thing that it's ingrained in your brain because it's been there for so long that you just can't shake it.
You might have been scarred by Camp Coughlin, right?
I was had nightmares. Still do. I told JP last week when we were doing the show, the first few years, it's like your body's ready to go do something. You're not going to do anything. Now, it's like the sense of training camps here. I smile. I'm like, no camp, baby.
No, I know.
I missed the game, but camp. But it's so different. I mean, camp is so different than it used to be. Where I don't think the same physical stress is on the horizon, and as a player, I don't think you have to worry about that as much. It's still a mental grind.
That's why I was asking Gus, you know, if you compare the old style of practicing where you had full pads for twice a day for 4 weeks, sometimes 5 weeks, versus today, and he said clearly, you know, today's practice setup is better. He kind of threw a little bit of a caveat in there that he said, you know, the off-season schedule and the time that you can spend with your players, I like the old way better. But, I mean, the way that the schedules are allowed to be now with the modern NFL, that's the way it should have been for years.
The only thing I would change is I would actually change the offseason back to how it was. More time in the weight room, more time.
Right, that's what Gus was talking about.
Yeah, I agree with that. But as far as training camp, and JP and I had a long conversation about this last week, this is how it should have been. Mm-hmm. There was no reason when Jeff and I played that you needed 4, 5, in one case 6 weeks of 2-a-days to be prepared to play a game. I said all along, I needed a week of practice, a preseason game, and then maybe a couple more practices, and let's go play the regular season.
Yeah,
my body's ready to go. I'm mentally ready. I'm physically ready. Let's go.
With the way it used to be, I mean, you had at times 14 padded full padded practices in a week period. For real.
It's unbelievable. And in some cases,
you had as many padded practices in 1 week as they do the entire season in the regular season.
And then in some cases, you would add walkthroughs into that, which the walkthroughs were not walkthroughs. They were jogthroughs. So in some cases, that you could almost – and under today's terms, they would be considered 3 days.
You guys actually sound like you're whining a little bit.
No, I'm not whining.
I know. It sounds like – I don't know.
I'm happy for the guys now. I'm actually happy. I'm not one of those old guys, oh, they should have to go on through what we do. No. What they are doing now is
it's
the right
smart.
thing. Absolutely.
Jaguars Thursday. JP
Shut up, JP.
With Jeff Lockman and Tony Baselli.
It's only 3 days you've ever done as a meal. It's only 3 days you've ever done.
Listen here. Listen here, Rooster.
Let's get to the biggest news nationally today. Justin Blackmon arrested last night with possession of marijuana in Edmond, Oklahoma. That's just north of Oklahoma City. That all came out today. The video from the dashboard of the cruiser came out today. Shad Khan spoke about this. We'll get to his comments coming up a little bit later. Gus Bradley spoke about it a couple of times today. It doesn't really change anything with his status with his team. He's not on the team. He's still part of the organization, but he's not. And nothing's really different today, is it?
Well, what's different is you realize that the progress in the healing that you hoped, that we all hoped he was going through, in as far as him taking better care of himself and making better decisions and getting healthier, it's a huge setback.
We knew it wasn't there, though.
I mean, quietly, we've heard whispers. No, but Jeff, you always hoped. But yeah. Now this is confirmation that still a long way to go. And so I think that's what's changed. As far as a football sense, JP, you're right. Nothing has changed. This team was not expecting him to be here at all
right,
this year.
That's right.
Well, but
he was eligible to apply for reinstatement at the beginning of the year.
I think we can pass on that.
You can throw that out the window now.
Don't.
But you know, the only good I think that comes out of this is that you hope that something hits him upside the head, figuratively speaking here, that makes him realize that the track and the course that he's on in his life is not productive for him, period, regardless of football, right? I mean, well, that he needs to do things to change his life.
You'd have hoped that the three or four incidences before this would have done that.
But, you know, and I had this comment thrown out to me today, and that, you know, this could be rock bottom for Justin, and maybe it will help him. I don't know if this will be. I mean, if getting suspended by the league for a year wasn't enough – to where you can't be with your team and you can't be with your teammates, then why would getting arrested for possession of marijuana in Oklahoma change that?
Because ultimately, the only thing that can change is if he decides to get better.
Yeah, it's all on him
now. It's on him. And
it's always been on him.
But it is. And so is this rock bottom? I don't know. Is it a sign that he doesn't care? I mean, none of us know that. It's just very sad because I think anyone who has had dealings with Justin Blackmon in this building
likes
Justin Blackmon. I mean, I like Justin Blackmon. I tell people all the time I have friends who make very disparaging comments and rip them. And I say, listen, I'm not going to sit here and defend his choices, but I'll tell you this. I like the kid. I like him. I mean, he was an individual you enjoyed being around.
Very different from like an R.J. Sauer.
He was
here for the Jaguars, right?
So everyone was ready to kick him out.
And everybody was like, man, just get him out of here. Because he was not a favorite person of anybody that ever came in contact with him. Whereas Justin, I don't know if there's anybody that has ever spent time with him who doesn't like him.
Let's move on. Let's get all the bad stuff out of the way right now. Ace Sanders, earlier this week, announced that he would be facing a 4-game suspension. And that suspension came down, I believe, today officially from the league. But as you mentioned with Gus earlier, I was listening to it in the other room. You can't really lump these two together. These are totally separate situations.
But you know what? The reason I brought that up is because a lot of people are going to say, okay, last year a Sanders comes in as a rookie and Justin Blackmon is already in the room.
Yeah.
He had some issues and then obviously had big issues with getting suspended for a year.
Was
there influence from Justin to Ace Sanders? And I brought that up because a lot of people just hear about this kind of stuff and then would insinuate that Justin Blackmon led Ace Sanders down the wrong path. Totally two separate deals here.
Right.
Ace Sanders and Justin Blackmon. But the reason I brought that up is because that's what a lot of people may think. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
If you're not in the building, don't see it. It just makes sense to kind of think
but
about
I give,
it. But
I give Ace Sanders credit. He came out, made a statement before the NFL, ended up releasing the information saying that, you know, I've got to get some help personally in my life to get back on track. Then the league releases it. I'm kind of curious, though, in that he said that he will not participate much in training camp.
That's right.
This is that I don't know about that.
Well, he's allowed to, but he's going to take his own time away from the team.
By league rule, right. He is allowed to participate in every practice in training camp, every preseason game in the preseason, and then his suspension does not start until the Monday, the first week of the opener. And then he would be eligible to come back, I think it's September 29th, which is after the conclusion of the fourth regular season game. Yeah. And he has said that he's not going to participate much in training camp. Kind of curious to me. Now, look, if that's what you have to do to get yourself right, I'm all for it.
I was going to say, it's almost refreshing to me because in a league where guys get suspended and they have 9 million excuses of how it happened or it wasn't them or they appeal it, they deny they have a problem, the long list of excuses, it's refreshing to me because here's a young man who – got popped, failed the drug test, gets a 4-day game suspension for drugs of substance of abuse, and says immediately, listen, I have an issue, and I need to go get healthy. And if you talk to anybody who has addictive issues with substances,
let me just say this, though, before you keep going. We don't know if it's an addiction. Whatever issue he's going
to
address.
But, Jeff, and you know this better than I do. If I'm not mistaken, to get the 4-day suspension means it's the second pop because you have to be in the program. The first failed drug test of a substance abuse, you get no suspension. Meaning that you're in the – we don't know this for sure because it's all confidential, but sure. By league rules – you assume that he was already in the program to get the 4 games, meaning this isn't the first – you assume it's not the first failed test. And so I respect the fact that here's a young man who's honest enough, which you don't see in this league by individuals, says, I have an issue, and I need to go get help, and I need to go somewhere. And I can't remember his exact quote, but I think he says professional help to go talk to – and I don't know what that means, but – and that is taking precedent – over football. And guys, let's be honest, he'll never, none of these individuals can be football players and be the best at that, professionals, the best at their position if they don't take care of this issue first. And so he's doing first things first. I respect it. I understand it. Go get healthy so you have a chance to have a career down the road.
I respect it. But on the flip side of that, last time I checked, you're trying to win a job.
That's right.
Yep. Okay. And Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Tandon Doss, Mike Brown, Cecil Shorts. That's a lot of names for a limited number of spots.
Very true.
Out of sight, out of mind.
It could be an issue.
But if you're not getting help, Jeff, the flip side of it is if you continue to have a problem and issues and you can't figure that out.
Well, he's not going
to
be at his best. And Gus Bradley, I think, said it.
You're a year. Then the next pop's a year.
Yep.
And so, listen, I mean, whether it's here or another football team, if I'm A. Sanders, I better take care of my off-the-field issues first so that I have a chance to play professional football.
Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. Kind of to that point, guys, does this put more pressure on those rookie wide receivers?
No.
Or is this a better opportunity for the rookie wide receivers?
I don't think it puts any more pressure on them.
I don't think it changes anything.
I don't think it really changes anything at all.
Okay.
You know, because you got Tandon Doss and you got Mike Brown and – Cecil Shorts, I mean, and those are your three veteran guys. And then after that, you've got Hurns that's fighting for a spot. And then, you know, so, hey, look, I think if you're, you know, whether it be, you know, Marquise Lee or Allen Robinson, your approach has got to be, I got to earn a job. I got to earn a role, you know, because last time I checked, those other guys have been there, done that, and they haven't been there and they haven't done that.
Yeah, my hope is – I hope it doesn't change anything in their mindset, because my hope is the mindset of Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson is not that they're just trying to make the roster because they're second-round picks. I mean, they're going to get a chance to do that. But their mindset should be coming in before the A. Sanders information came out is I'm trying to earn a starting job and earn catches and earn the trust of Chad Henne, the quarterback, to throw me the ball. I mean, that's the competitive nature you want out of Marquise Lee.
Wait. You just have not bought in to the Gus Bradley mindset. Just get better, Tony. That's the only approach they have to have. Just get better.
Well, it is getting better. I'm trying to win a job. I want to be the best. I mean, listen, to me, getting better is saying I want to be the best. And so if I'm Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson, I want to be the best receiver I possibly can be, and I want catches. I want the ball. I mean, that's the attitude I think you have to have.
Without the diva.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're good enough, I'll take diva.
We don't need that approach that the Southern Cal has had for years.
Southern California,
just throw me the damn ball.
Yeah, it goes all the way to Bocelli.
You won't take a diva receiver who's catching 110 balls and 10 touchdowns a year?
Oh, I'd take that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me. There's been two kinds of just throw me the damn ball receivers that I've watched. One of them is Keyshawn Johnson from afar, and I think he had the wrong approach, whereas Keenan McCardell, one of the greatest receivers in Jaguars history, one of the great receivers in the National Football League, he would tell you privately, just throw me the damn ball.
Listen, I'm not saying Keyshawn handled it right publicly, but he caught a lot of balls and lot of touchdowns.
That he did.
Let's finish out the first segment with the final big news of the day. George Yarno will stay out in Spokane, Washington, the Jaguars offensive line coach, undergoing cancer treatments there. Today, Luke Butkus announced as the interim offensive line coach. They brought in an assistant, Matt Applebaum, as well. Great news for Butkus. He gets to run the room, but you hate to get this in this type of capacity, I guess, right?
Well, let me just say this about Luke Butkus. I mean, he has been at the front of the room before, with George Yarno. I mean, Luke Butkus is very well respected among the offensive linemen. He's very well respected among the coaching staff. He looks like he could probably suit up and play a little bit offensive guard in the National Football League, but he'll do just fine. It is a terrible disease that George Yarno is fighting, and my thoughts are certainly with him. And it's kind of, when you think about George Yarno having cancer, there's not a coach in the National Football League, and he's a former player that made the transition into coaching. There's not a coach in the National Football League nor a former player that I've been associated with that looks in better shape than George Yarno. And it just goes to show you that
that's what scares you.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter. And I wish the best for him and his family.
It's a pretty tight room, isn't it, Tony? That
offensive line's always a tight room, especially if you want a good if you plan on being a good unit. I mean, when we had good teams here and good offensive lines, it was one of the tightest rooms in the entire team. And that group will rally together.
And the coaches plays a big role in that.
Big part of it. I mean, and Luke is respected. Luke understands it. He played the game. He understands the dynamics of the room. He'll get the respect of the players.
And he's a little wacky.
Well, you have to be. To be an offensive line coach, you have to be a little off.
To be a coach in the National Football League, definitely an offensive line coach.
Normal.
You got to have a little wacky to you.
I mean, if you're normal, then you're doing something else.
If your last name's Butkus, you might have a little wacky in you too, right?
Yeah, you might have a little mean streak in you.
I was roommates with one of those. his cousin.
This portion
Trust
of
me.
Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. And when we return, highlights from Shad Khan's visit with the media this afternoon. That's coming up next. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Back on Jaguars Thursday. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, 1-800 in front of that if you're outside of the area. Get your seats now for the summer mega event at Everbank Field this Saturday. Fulham Football Club and DC United in a friendly at 6. The unveiling of the world's largest video boards right after the game. And then six-time Grammy Award-winning country superstar Carrie Underwood with a full concert. The stage will be in the north 30-yard line facing south. Tickets available, Jaguars.com, Ticketmaster.com, or call 633-2000. A note about parking for Saturday, guys. JTA Stadium Shuttle will be operating at $7 round trip from the Prime Osborne Convention Center. Traffic will be absolutely crazy down here. They're expecting over 50,000 people for this thing.
It's going to be big. It's going to be big. And the scoreboards will still be bigger.
And yeah, that's the
one. Are you going to be here, JP?
I'll be here for it. You going to be
whole thing?
I'm going to stay for Carrie. Yeah, sure.
You?
I'm undecided. I'm undecided.
Oh, I'm undecided.
I have no choice.
Waiting all day for Saturday night, and that's a song? No, Sunday night.
I have no choice because my kids are so excited.
Good.
For the Carrie Underwood concert.
I'm kind of. If I come, I can tell you what it'll be for. The friendly.
Soccer?
Yeah.
You're a soccer aficionado, Jeff.
I'm not being funny. And I'm not trying to make fun of the fact that in sixth grade I got an F in PE when we had soccer in a one particular grading period because I forgot about a test and didn't study. So I'm not taking – but I'm honestly – I've become more of a fan of soccer since the World Cup. I watched more soccer this year than I ever have in the rest of my life combined, and I enjoyed it. And I think I will get a thrill out of it.
I did too, but how is it like the World Cup? I mean, as far as like how long the halves are and all that?
Yeah.
Same thing?
90 minutes game.
So yeah, 45 minutes
and added
time. The only thing I'm wondering, is this going to be like preseason hockey versus playoff hockey?
Does everyone play?
It is an exhibition.
You know, are we going
to
see
slide tackles and like trying to take people out? Like
it won't be like the World Cup final or anything. It won't be Brazil-Chile. It won't be that.
Will we see the theatrics like, oh, I got my knee hurt, and they bring the stretcher out.
Maybe
and
not that
they,
bad.
They take him off to the sideline. He hops off the stretcher and goes, all right, I'm ready to go.
Well, it's part of the strategy of soccer, though.
I mean, if a guy gets
a certain amount of cards, he could get gone for the next game or for later in the tournament, and it could be out.
See, so, I missed that part of understanding soccer back in sixth grade.
Well, now you know.
Yeah.
Because this is eighth grade.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward. I'm gonna come watch the whole deal.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It'll be a long night, but I'll be here though.
I'll tell you what,
I'll be there throughout.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. I'm going to say it anyway. We saw a sneak preview of the unveiling.
Well, I already did on the Gus Bradley show, so, you know, might as well go ahead and say it.
Well, I saw it too. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Oh, did you see it, Tony?
No.
Oh, man.
It was incredible.
I'm going to wait for everyone, like everyone else, until Saturday night. I'm not going to cheat like you, JP.
It's fantastic. The entire staff saw it, by the way.
Oh.
And the team.
That's cheating.
And Gus. And Jeff. So. Be in your seat for that after the soccer game, before Carrie Underwood. That's when that'll happen right here at Everbank.
So they're not going to be playing replays of the soccer on the boards then?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to wait and see.
I don't know.
I don't think they will.
I do know, but I'm not allowed to say
what
they're going to be doing with the boards.
Hey, I like that.
We got some inside intel.
Jeff Lagerman. Doing work in here today.
Investigative reporter.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yes,
of course,
I did.
The Jaguars held the Back to Football Business Luncheon today at the Terrace Suite up here at Everbank Field. Over 500 local business leaders, city officials were on hand. And the 2014 draft class was there, guys, to sign autographs. And then Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley each spoke with the crowd today. I guess the biggest news out of this was that Shad Khan spoke with the media after. He doesn't get a lot of availability with the media here locally. Of course, it was right after the Justin Blackmon situation had really come to light. One of the early questions for Shad today was, will he stay on this team?
I think it's good for him to be, and frankly, it's good for us. We want him to get the help and really beat this.
So he said, yes, they do not plan on cutting him. Just keep him on the roster. No need either way to make that happen. I don't know if there's much more we need to comment on that. Of course, the biggest news today was about the video boards. They were on behind the presentation in the Terrace Suite. You can see it from all the tables. So all these 500 people are sitting there. All of a sudden, one of the displays comes on that wasn't supposed to during the middle of the luncheon. So whoever was speaking, I think Dave was coming up. And everybody was paying attention to the boards and not Dave for a minute. It was pretty interesting out there. But, of course, Shad Khan said after that, this sets a new standard for excellence in game experience.
I think it's going to raise the game day experience to a new level. You know, it's going to set the benchmark on what people should expect when they go to an event.
Of course, we've heard the statistics on the width and the height of these things, Jeff. You mentioned that a lot earlier in the Gus Bradley show.
Well, twice, actually. That's not a lot.
Well, it's a couple of better than zero, so yeah. Thank you for that. But just the size of these things. You've been out there to see them.
I haven't.
You haven't seen any video on them. We were clear on that, but
yeah,
it's really changed the inside of the stadium. It's
huge. It changes the whole feel of the stadium. It's much more of an enclosed feeling now.
It is.
With the large boards.
And it's also, don't forget about the new ribbon panels.
Yes.
That are above on both sides and then go across the mid part of the stadium, which have been changed out as well. I learned today, okay, it's part of, I always believe you can always learn more, from my good buddy Joe Fortunato, that the old ribbon panels had fans behind it. A lot of the fans used to complain about the fan noise. Those aren't there anymore because they are now LED panels, and they're not needed. So it's not just the big boards. It's all of the ribbon panels that have been replaced, and they are looking jam up.
Jam up.
That's good.
Is that the best you can do?
That's the
jam up?
Deep vocabulary.
How about amazing?
Jam up. That's like –
Like a field of sunflowers.
Show
how about
your age
that?
There. Jam up.
Maybe we'll see a field of sunflowers on the boards. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Of course, one of the big parts of this renovation was that north end zone, the cabana area. The upper part of that sold out for the season. There was water in the pools.
Did you swim,
today,
JP?
Guys? No, but Shad Khan had this exchange with writers today about the new pools at Everbank.
Yeah, what blew me away is getting into the pool, and I tell you, that view is amazing, okay? So it's like maybe, you know, should the pools have been a little bit bigger, whatever. So, I mean, you know, I can just see some room for improvement.
So you've been in the pool? with or without water?
The water was just coming in yesterday when they were...
So are you going to get in? Any chance you get in a pool with water?
Of course. As a matter of fact, this is Florida. I mean, you know, it's like breathing air, being in the water. During palm heat? Trees, well, let's see, you know, so depends on the score, Gene.
Will he be there in a game? Depends on the score. Well, well done, Shad, of course. And, of course, he finished off with the Saturday event, what this really will be for the city of Jacksonville.
The event, really the purpose is to thank the people who made this possible, which obviously are, you know, the city council, the mayor, people of Jacksonville. You know, from my viewpoint, it was kind of a tribute. You'll be here, you'll see to Jacksonville. You know, it's a great community. We got great assets, great facilities, and, you know, so it kind of raises the bar. But I think, you know, I think the whole experience will help. And we're on a good pace for selling tickets. And, you know, I'm very optimistic.
The highlights of Shad Khan's comments to the media today after the back-to-football luncheon here at Everbank Field. Anything stand out from hearing some of that? He obviously, he's seen this in his head for a long time.
Sure.
And it's finally for real. And I think he's starting to realize that. It's the first time he's seen all this in action this weekend.
Well, not in his comments right there, but from talking to President Mark Lamping today and reading some of his comments, on time, on budget. Those are two things that you always want to hear about when it comes to a project like this.
And you don't always hear that in construction.
No.
Not at all.
It's a good job by everybody to get that done.
So Saturday night, get ready for that. Tickets are available, 633-2000, jaguars.com, ticketmaster.com as well. Single game tickets are on sale for the Jags. Limited seating available for that Steelers game. I was on ticketmaster.com the other day, guys, and it said single seats available in most sections for the Steelers game.
Hmm.
How about that? That's October 5th. Visit jaguars.com for 3D seat views and more. Tickets also available through Ticketmaster.com or call the Jaguars ticket office, 633-2000. When we return, a look around the National Football League and the AFC South. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Thursday rolls along. 355-635-1355 NFL 1. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman,
you funny
Tony
guy,
Buscelli.
Joe.
Jam up.
Jam up.
Funny guy.
It was jam up, all right.
Well done, Mr. Fortunato.
Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. You'll get caught up in all the latest Jags news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. And Inside the Jags return today. It's up right now on Jaguars.com. Also, Jaguars.com live tomorrow at training camp practice.
Oh.
Right about 10:15, 9:55 is when the news drill starts, and then about 10:15, a live show.
Who's hosting?
I'll be there. You want to be are you want to be on it? You guys want to be on it with
me? Are you the host?
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
You guys want to come on with me? No?
Anybody? What time?
10:15.
I'll always come on.
I'll come say hi.
Always.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll be
so
here.
Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli, they'll be on there too. Jaguars.com tomorrow if you can't make it out to training camp practice. Also have to mention, guys, Monday night's practice down at Bartram Trail High School in St. Johns County is completely booked.
Yep.
2,500 seats claimed on Jaguars.com. If more come open, you'll hear it through Jaguars.com and some other outlets. That should be a really fun night down
mm-hmm.
there.
I think it's great. I mean, when you reach out into different parts of the community, even though it's a short drive, I mean, that's great. I mean, you get more people exposed to the Jaguars. And I think that the greatest exposure is going to be to the youth, because a lot of kids may not be able to, you know, come up to Jacksonville and watch a training camp practice.
That's
and
right.
by taking the training camp practice to them. Because, you know, I just reflect back on my time, because I grew up in a community, a little town called Sterling, Virginia, that was very close to where the old Redskin Park used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And every experience that I had, whether it been, you know, Dave Butts or Joe Theismann, Sonny Jurgensen, Rich Malott, I mean, it was cool. I mean, it was a great experience and something that I remember to this day. Some of them good, most of them good, very few of them bad.
Tony, you're into the Friday Night Lights. You know, you're
huge.
Yeah, big time.
Love
so this is
it's
huge
great.
Going it's, down to a facility like
well, it's
this,
great right? doing it at the high school facility. You obviously, the players will be there getting a lot of people that maybe don't come to downtown to view practice. I'm with Jeff. As a kid, going to Denver Broncos training camps in Greeley was a highlight. It's up and close and personal. You get to experience the players. And
who do you remember? Who do you remember meeting the most with a great experience that you had as a kid that played for the Denver Broncos? Because I'll share you mine after I hear yours.
Oh. I've got a camp story too, guys, but go ahead.
You know, there isn't one player that stands out, Jeff. It was more the experience. I mean, I was a huge John Elway fan
mm-hmm.
growing up, and so being able to watch him up close and personal and watch him walk by, because you're as a kid, you're sitting right there, and they walk by, and you kind of say hi. And all the players are great. So there's not one guy, because growing up in Denver.
But he was the guy that
when he walked by,
oh my God, that's John Elway.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was. And I always tell the story. It was funny because as a kid, being a Bronco fan, and then he played so long, the last Pro Bowl he played in, I played left tackle, and I was like a little kid in the huddle.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, man, I was a little kid watching you. And he's like, hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
Two guys I remember just when they with their mere presence made me go, wow. John Riggins and Dexter Manley.
I had a trip to Dallas Cowboys training camp at St. Edwards in Austin, Texas in 1994 with my grandmother. And it was Barry Switzer's first year as head coach.
Yep.
And George W. Bush was running for governor. And he was out there on a campaign stop. In 94 of Texas, and I almost got Emmett Smith's autograph, but he thought I was pushing a kid in front of me, so he didn't sign my hat. So I got hosed on that.
Yeah,
one.
That's all right.
Yeah, it happens. Let's go around the National Football League and start off with Tony Dungy. In an article with the Tampa Tribune that came out this week, he said he would not have drafted Michael Sam. After some backlash and, of course, all kinds of media, he clarified and said that he thought Sam deserved a chance in the league and that he wouldn't be a distraction, but that the media attention would be. But my question, guys, is was Dungy in the wrong to begin with?
Well,
with his comments.
Well, I think you have to read the entire context of his original comments that were right after the draft, and for some reason they now get put out there now, as Tony clarified now. And he wasn't criticizing, although Tony doesn't believe in that lifestyle as a Christian man, but he did say this time around that, hey, look, I love Michael Sam. And I give Tony Dungy for addressing it now. Also, people need to understand that when you make a comment and all of a sudden 2 months later it gets airplay, why?
True. True. What do you think, Tony?
Listen. He said he wouldn't draft him because he thought it would be a distraction. That's the prerogative of a head coach, and the head coach is looking at the entirety of the situation. I thought he did a fine job of clarifying it. Listen, at the end of the day, Michael Sam's going to get a chance to play, and I thought Michael Sam handled it great. His comments was, well, I'm glad Tony Dungy wasn't the head coach of St. Louis Rams. He handled it perfectly
as
well.
He handled it very well.
He did a good job. Not everyone has to agree. I say it all the time. There's a lot of different lifestyles in the locker room. And you don't have to agree with every lifestyle that is played out in the locker room. You have to respect each other as teammates. And all I think anyone asks for is don't become a distraction outside of what the team's trying to do. And I think that's what Tony was trying to say.
Well, Tony was talking specifically about the planned television show for the Oprah Winfrey Network,
right.
And that that would be a distraction to his football team if Michael Sam were to do something like that. And he said that's kind of specifically what he was referring to. So,
which I agree, that is a distraction.
Sure
it
is.
And no head coach wants anything to be a distraction when he's trying to get ready to win football games. And whether it's the lifestyle that, of Michael Sam. It was brought up with Tim Tebow and the distraction that he became in the locker room because of all the peripheral.
Hey, look, there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of distractions. In the National Football League.
But, Jeff, is it not the job of the head coach to try to limit those as possible?
Sure it is. But, I mean, they happen all the time. I mean, an Ace Sanders, a Justin Blackman. I mean, you know, I mean, those things are all distractions. Teams, you know, they deal with it and they roll.
And you try to do a good job of limiting them.
Let's move on to Baltimore. Speaking of different lifestyles, Ravens running back Ray Rice suspended 2 games. He'll be fined an additional game check on top of that for the under the personal conduct policy for that altercation that left his fiancée and now wife unconscious in an Atlantic City casino elevator. He'll miss the games against the Bengals and the Steelers. And remember, Justin Forsett got first-team snaps in the offseason there in Baltimore. Is this enough punishment for Ray Rice?
Personally, I thought it was kind of light.
I think it's embarrassing.
You hit a woman and knock her out like what he did, and it was all captured on video, but I never saw the actual video. I saw the video that showed the end result. To me, that's light.
Listen, you're going to get 4 games for a guy smoking weed? I'm not saying it's okay to smoke pot. It's against the law. It's legal in multiple states. Last time I checked, everywhere in this world, or at least let's just talk about this country, if you knock out a woman and you're a man, you hit a woman, that is
you go to jail.
You go to jail. And you're going to give him 2 games? I disagree with it 100%. I think it's inconsistent.
I will add this to it in that everybody that is around Ray Rice speaks volumes of how good of a guy that he is and said that this was out of character. But still, it happened, and it happened on video. It's hard to dispute that.
Can't take it back.
No, you knocked out a woman. There's no excuse for it. I'm not saying the guy should, you know, he said he's sorry. Not that you can't be forgiven, but there's consequences for it.
Well, how do you change the punishment? How does that happen?
Commissioner Goodell has repeatedly said that they are going to deal with these, and I think the penalty needs to be more harsh.
Well, and Ray Rice and his wife spent some time with the commissioner in New York. You know, so we don't know how that went. At face value, not having the inside information, it looked like.
What information do you need, Jeff? He knocked her out.
I'm not arguing that.
Let's move on to Atlanta, where the Falcons have agreed with Roddy White on a 3-year, $30 million extension. They'll keep him under contract for the next 4 years. Is he worth that kind of cash, first off, and will they be able to lock in Julio Jones?
I'll let you start
on
this
deal.
One.
I think Roddy White's been a fabulous player, undervalued, underappreciated. When you look at the attention that receivers get in this league, he's been outstanding, but he's long in the tooth, and to pay him $10 a year for 3 more years, I think it's a little excessive.
I agree on one point, that he's been a fantastic player. When you have as much money as you've already invested in Julio Jones, why would you invest $10 million in a guy opposite of him? I mean, that to me, you have to develop guys while you have a Julio Jones. Find guys to develop to go along with him and not pay your own $10 million like that. Although, I think it's great because, you know, you always like the good stories to where a guy starts his career with one team because it doesn't happen very often and then finishes his career with a team. And Roddy White has been an exceptional player and probably very underappreciated in his time in the National Football League.
I'm happy for him. I'm always for the player. Get as much as you can. Absolutely. I'm talking from a team perspective. I don't think I'd invested that much money in the receiver opposite Julio Jones.
If they're paying Julio Jones, what are they paying Julio Jones?
No idea. A lot.
A lot of money, right? Yeah. And they're paying
I think
Roddy
he's still
White,
on his rookie contract.
Yeah. Like, still, it's going to be a lot.
Like $10 million. And then you're paying Matty Ice, franchise quarterback money, probably $15 million
a year. You run out of money quickly.
It's a lot of money.
It is.
It's a lot of money. To be tying up into 3 guys now, that's a lot of money.
Let's move on to the AFC South and start in Houston with the Texans. Wide receiver Andre Johnson spotted at the Texans facility Monday, learning the new offense, we read. Still unclear whether he'll report for camp tomorrow. They're on the field Saturday for the first time. How big a blow is this if this does not get resolved soon? Speaking of distractions, this would be a major distraction in Houston.
I think he went about this totally wrong. I think it's very similar to how Maurice Jones-Drew approached a couple years ago.
That's what I was thinking. Yep.
Big mistake. If you had questions about the direction of the franchise, you don't miss all of the OTAs and the mandatory minicamp and then show up and say, if you repeal the fines, I'll show up and I'm willing to work. No. If you had any questions, you should have walked into the office and been a man and talked to Bill O'Brien, the new head coach, and the general manager, Rick Smith, and said, hey, here are my questions and here are my concerns, and let them talk about that with you instead of just kind of ignoring it and ignoring them and then sitting out and then showing back up wanting the fines repealed so you can show back up.
Well, I mean, listen, the difference, though, the only part I would disagree, he's not asking for more money. He wants out.
Yeah.
He wants a trade. And so the difference is he said, listen, I don't want to play for the Texans. And he gambled. He bluffed. They called his bluff. And now it's time to come back to work.
Yeah, but if you got those questions and you got those concerns.
Go ask.
Go talk to him.
Is he one of those diva receivers we talked about a while
ago?
No, he's not.
It's the complete opposite of that. He's almost kind of a recluse from what people talk about. He's very quiet and reserved. But if you have concerns, you know, just go in there and ask.
But I think he did he voiced his concerns.
No. Not at the beginning, he did not.
Well, he made it clear he didn't like the direction of where they were. He wanted out. He wanted to be traded.
He made that very clear with his actions. But go in there and talk to him about it.
Let's move on to Indianapolis. Speaking of wide receivers, Reggie Wayne reported to camp riding in an Indy car. He's known for his grand entrances to camp each year. But he also says he's ready to go, coming off that ACL tear last year in week 7. Good news for the Colts if he's ready to roll, right?
Absolutely. He's a great receiver, but listen.
He's getting old, too.
He's getting old, and coming back at that position after a serious knee injury is not easy.
No.
And it's going to be difficult.
But Reggie Wayne is so different. He's not a receiver that has relied on his speed. He's crafty. He's smart. He is a huge weapon for Andrew Luck. This is a guy that could conceivably play into his 40s, much like Jerry Rice. Even coming back from an ACL, this guy's that special.
Rice came back from an ACL late, didn't he?
He came back in 6 months and
played. That's right. Real quick.
That's right. Within the same season, it was less than 6 months.
But then re-injured it because he came
and
back.
It was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Well, he came back.
but he did.
I hate to burst everyone's bubble, but he ended up fracturing his kneecap because of it.
That's right. We move on to Tennessee and Nashville. Tackle Taylor Lewan was the final draft pick in this year's draft class in the league to sign today. He has a court date in late October from that bar fight in Ann Arbor. But the question, guys, does he get the starting gig at either left or right tackle? Michael Ruse at left, Michael Orr at right. Does he beat out either one of those guys for a gig this year?
I don't think he'll beat Michael Ruse. I think Michael Ruse, he's getting up there in age. He's not the same player he was, but he's crafty. He's a very he's a solid, good left tackle. Listen, I think he can beat out Michael Orr. I mean, Michael Orr is okay. I mean, Baltimore let him go. They chose to keep Eugene Monroe over Michael Orr. And I think Ty Lewan will have a chance to beat him out. Whether he does or not, you know, I don't know. I mean, Jeff said it best in the break. He's not the most athletic guy who was drafted, but he's a big mauler. I think he could be a good right tackle. All three of them are going to be on the field. One of them is going to be moved to guard, I would guess. It'll be interesting.
If I had to guess, and I'm just guessing here, Taylor Lewan played where? At Michigan.
Michigan.
Okay. Left tackle,
right? Very physical, kind of reminds me a little bit of Eric Fisher, the high draft pick that was drafted ahead of Luke Jokel. But physical, tough, not a great athlete, but he's a first-round pick, right? Michael Orr is a free agent acquired from another team. And where did Michael Orr play at times in Baltimore? Play guard. My guess will be Lewan will be your right tackle or we'll end up moving into guard.
Well, the only problem is with that, Jeff, I mean, you drafted a guard in the first round last year.
And you paid a high dollar free agent.
And so maybe there's not room at guard.
Maybe Orr becomes a swing guy.
Yeah.
Or Taylor Lewan could be the swing guy.
We'll find out in about a month, I guess, after the end of camp. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. When we return, we'll wrap up Jaguars Thursday. Look at the weekend ahead. Training camp begins tomorrow morning. That's after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman, Tony Boselli. Coming up for the Jaguars camp underway tomorrow morning, 9:55. Register for free admission, jaguars.com/events. That'll take you to the link to register for tickets for training camp. The entire, all 13 training camp practices, you can register either at one time or at separate times for that. So do that before tomorrow morning. If you can't make it out, you'll see some live coverage on jaguars.com tomorrow around 10:15. Also tomorrow, a 3 o'clock press conference here at Everbank Field. Jaguars owner Shad Khan, Mayor Brown will be there, representatives from Everbank as well, and there's reports tonight that they will announce an extension of naming rights deal, but there's no details at least. That's the Times Union reporting that. A 10-year extension for stadium naming rights deal should be announced most likely tomorrow. About 3, we'll have that live on Jaguars.com too. When the details of that come out, that's obviously, if it's 10 years, it's a huge deal for this franchise, for this city.
I think you could – I mean, that's a big source of revenue, you know, for a home football team. How many stadiums in the National Football League are still without naming rights? There's a couple of them. You know, and so to have this sealed up for 10 years, for all those people out there that might have questions, is this franchise going to move? Oh, wait a minute here. Just the 10-year extension that's being reported, that's a good sign.
Also tomorrow, the Fulham Football Club and D.C. United have open practice sessions inside Everbank Field. Gates open at 5 o'clock. D.C. United on the field 5:30 to 7. Fulham on the field 7 to 8:30. Park in lot C or D, and you'll enter the stadium through the East Touchdown Club. That's nearest the Hart Bridge on the other side of the stadium.
JP, what's the line? What's the line in the Fulham D.C. United friendly?
I did not look that up at Harrah's Lake Tahoe, but they might have it on the board somewhere. I don't know. I'm not really into the
– Is D.C. United a good club?
Well, they're an MLS club, yeah.
Well, but are
they're
they
a tier ahead of
– No, are they good in
– Now they are.
Yeah, now they are.
Now they are. Just another note here.
What do you mean they're a tier ahead?
Well, they're MLS.
Fulham.
Yeah, Fulham got relegated, remember?
They got relegated.
No, I know that. Oh, so MLS is at the same level as the Premier
League? Well, in theory, yes.
Oh, in theory.
Yes.
Just another thing here, got this media news release.
Okay.
Fulham is going to sign autographs.
That's right.
With the Jaguars players following Friday's training camp practice, which the practice is at 9:55 a.m.
It'll be over, what, 12:15 or so is when it'll be over?
Yeah, ballpark, and the Fulham FC players will be there to sign autographs. That's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And this is something when Shad Khan bought Fulham, one of his visions was to have them play over here.
And synergy.
Yeah.
A little synergy. And then also the practices for both teams, Fulham and D.C. United, are going to have open practices, right, Friday?
Yeah, I think that's what he just said.
I'm just following up. Did you give the time?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I did. Okay. And the gate.
And how to get in and everything
park.
Else. Yeah. Were you with us? Were you listening?
I was actually trying to find the information on the autographs.
We'll repeat it again for Jeff Loggeman.
I apologize.
D.C. United on the field 5:30 to 7. Fulham 7 to 8:30. Parking lot C or D, or enter the stadium through the East Touchdown Club.
Well done, Jeff. Way to smooth.
It's a late night, guys.
Can we play the Twilight Zone?
7 to 8. This is a different time slot for us.
Right? Jeff's he's getting older, so he's usually in bed at this time.
It is my bedtime, matter of fact.
From what I understand, first pads shorts day is Sunday for this team. There's a Friday and Saturday practice and helmets only, and then pads on Sunday and then Monday, and then full pads go on, I think, Wednesday. There's an off day Tuesday. Something to that effect. You're ready to see the pads, Tony. I know you are.
Well, yeah, I enjoy that. What's interesting to me is there any real difference? There was never a difference for me, Jeff, between if you have helmet and shoulder pads or helmet, shoulder pads, and pants.
It's all pads.
It's all pads, baby.
Guys, great job as always.
Thank you.
Jaguars manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. Thanks to Ryan Bonifat back in the studio. For Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.